Welcome back to the program. The world of academia provides the perfect backdrop for drama, a cloistered environment filled with smart, passionate people who often think they are immune from the pettiness of human frailty. The fact is that they're not, and when they let down their guard or passion runs high, the results are often devastating to them and fascinating for us to watch. This is the case in Susan Choi's new novel, My Education. Susan Choi received her B.A. in literature from Yale, her M.F.A. from Cornell. Her first novel was The Foreign Student, and she was a Pulitzer Prize finalist for American Women. It is my pleasure to welcome Susan Choi to the program to talk about her newest work, My Education. Susan Choi, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. What is it about the world of academia? It does exist in this kind of cloistered environment, and in many ways it is fascinating to watch what goes on in that world.
I think in this story, I hate to make sweeping statements about the world of academia in general, although, of course, there are so many novels set in that world, and it's a fun world in which to set a novel. I couldn't really resist, but... In this novel, it's not just the world of academia, but that sort of cloistered environment is intensified by the remoteness of the town in which this particular university is located. It's one of those bucolic, pastoral towns in the middle of nowhere that are so beautiful and crazy-making for the people who live there.
Right.
So, you know, that community is all the more of a hothouse community that kind of turns in on itself.
Right. And talk a little bit about Regina Gottlieb, who is at the center of this story in your novel, My Education.
Well, she's 21. She arrives in this town to commence her graduate studies and, you know, what she thinks of as the rest of her adult life. She imagines herself to be really knowing, sophisticated, educated. She, in the first few pages, says that she has grown up, and she capitalizes the G and the U to indicate how very grown up she feels. And she's really not as grown up as she thinks. She almost immediately starts making pretty dubious decisions, and one of them is to become, instead of being wary, intrigued by a professor on campus with a very bad reputation. So she's sort of warned about this professor, don't go near him. And she immediately does the opposite.
And of course, part of that is the sense that young people often have that danger is not going to befall them, that somehow they're above all of that.
Of course, that they know a little bit better than everybody else that came before. Regina is just that way. I think she doesn't imagine that she can get hurt.
And, of course, the other thing that runs through this novel is the danger of obsession and what happens when that obsession overtakes us, even if it's not something that we were planning on.
Exactly. And I think it takes Regina particularly by surprise because this professor with the bad reputation, whom she immediately decides to get closer to try to find out more about him, he turns out not to be the person by whom she really gets scathed at all. In fact, he turns out to be not at all what he seems. He's quite kind of tentative and benign and actually very kind. They end up having a friendship initially, and Regina ends up sort of through this professor crossing paths with someone else.
Right, which we won't reveal. And in many ways, though, it gives affirmation to this idea of going in where others fear to tread, that in fact, once you make that leap and you do that, sometimes you find out that the conventional wisdom is not always true.
Exactly. Well, you know, I wanted to write a book about that quality of youth, which I think, you know, we've all experienced, that does, you know, lead you to be reckless and daring and to maybe do things against your own interest out of passion and you know, sort of sheer emotional intensity. And I feel like we outgrow that, and we outgrow that for a reason. But, you know, there's something valuable about that. And I wanted to explore that through what Regina goes through. Regina definitely has a really difficult time, but at the same time, I think she has an education, right? Not the education she expected.
Do you think that all young people outgrow that, or that for some that it sticks in a situation like Regina's, where taking those chances, taking those risks, pay off on a certain level?
I think it really depends. I think it really depends. I feel like for some, maybe that recklessness, you know, that lack of circumspection never is outgrown. I think it's a rare case in which it pays off. I think that I do feel like after a certain point in our adulthood, you're sort of not allowed to behave in certain ways without everyone looking at you and saying, grow up. Not necessarily, but I do feel like, at least in my own case, I started writing this book in large part because I felt like I arrived at this point in adulthood where the earlier period of my adulthood almost looked like this sort of late period of my adolescence by comparison, where I thought, God, you know, there I was in my 20s feeling very knowledgeable about life. But when I look back on it now from the perspective of being, you know, somewhat older, I look awfully young to me.
Right.
You know, that was the thought that kind of spurred this book in the first place.
And it's interesting because there are really two schools of thought with respect to one's 20s, that it is a time that should be allowed for this kind of experimentation and exploration, and people that have been arguing lately that no, given how competitive the world is, given the reality of things today, you've got to use those years in your 20s to be very focused and move along in your career and your life and not allow them to be used for experimentation.
Yeah, it's really tough. I think that our culture's idea of how to behave in your 20s is constantly changing. I feel like it's very unstable, and as a result, at least for me, the 20s were a really hard time. You know, I mean, Regina's experiences are fiction, but I remember really well just feeling really lost in my 20s and always feeling as if I should be both getting more serious and figuring it all out and taking more chances and taking more risks. You know, it's totally contradictory. I mean, as a person who has survived her 20s now and even her 30s, you know, I look back and I have all these regrets. I think, oh, God, you know, why didn't I go backpacking in Europe? Why didn't I travel more? Why did I worry so much about finding a job and paying off my student loans? You know, that's all from this perspective of things having worked out relatively. But I remember in my 20s, that tension between being responsible and being adventurous
right.
was really tough to negotiate.
And in many cases, it is the only chance we get as an adult to really take those chances and do those things and do that exploration. Once one gets to their late 20s, early 30s, the realities of life often take over in ways that we don't have as much control over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I teach undergraduates now, and, you know, although this might sound like between my book and what I'm about to say, as if I'm sort of coming out against the idea of graduate education, I often say to them, don't go straight into graduate school from college. Go do something else. Go be something besides a student for a while. And I'll say to them, you know, you don't have many chances to just go kind of do whatever you want. I mean, I feel like it's kind of a skeptical thing to say, but it is true, you know. It is true that time in your 20s is a time when you can try different things on, and it's going to be a lot harder to do that later.
You think that it's harder for young people, and you deal with them in the classroom, do you think it's harder for young people today given the economic pressures, given the career pressures today?
It's really hard for me to say because I feel like I teach, because of where I teach a very unique slice of today's young people. I mean, they're very lucky and very privileged, as I was when I
right.
went to college. So I feel like I teach at Princeton, I'm right. seeing some of the best educated, best prepared kids from, for the most part, pretty privileged backgrounds, and I don't mean financially, but I mean, you know, these are by and large kids from stable, loving, supporting families, and it shows, and they're incredibly driven, and they to me seem more prepared for everything than I felt at that age. But again, I don't think that they're representative of their age group as a whole.
the other aspect that underlies my education are just the intimate sexual politics that are so much a part of academic life today and life in the 20s, which over time seem to also get more complicated.
Yeah, they're complicated, you know, they're complicated then and they're complicated later. But, you know, absolutely, Regina sort of plunges into a relationship that she wants to feel is very sort of simple and imperative because of her strong feelings. She thinks that because she has these very powerful feelings that she's never had before, that is a very kind of straightforward situation. She should act on these feelings. The feelings almost feel sort of holy to her. You know, she's never had them before. She's got to do what they say she should do. And, you know, she isn't willing or isn't able to understand all of the complexities that are going to be unleashed by, you know, following her heart.
You think social media changes any of this today? I mean, one of the other things that we see is kids put up information about themselves and talk about themselves in ways that they may not want around 5, 6, 7, 8 years from then.
Yeah, I find social media in that sense really confusing because I feel like, you know, self-presentation is so different from the way it used to be. But it's so hard for me to comment because I really feel like almost this kind of Rip Van Winkle. I mean, I'm not that old.
No, you're not.
I don't participate in a lot of this stuff that, you know, even my husband is far more adept. I mean, my poor husband, you should see his face when I ask him to try to explain Facebook to me. He's just like, oh my God, what's there to explain? And I'm like, everything. So, you know, it's hard for me to say, but I do feel like social media on the one hand, and also just, you know, the ease of communication that's been unleashed by the ubiquity of cell phones and right. You know, email, Facebook, all of that stuff, the ways in which we can kind of constantly be in contact, constantly be aware of everybody's status, that's really changed the way we deal with each other, and I'm not sure in what way. But I know that, you know, when I was in my 20s, I mean, I didn't even have a cell phone, you know? Mm-hmm. If you liked someone, if you sort of had feelings for someone, and you kept wishing they would cross your path, and then they didn't, and you didn't know, are they avoiding me? Are they even intent? You know, there was this deep sense of mystery in interpersonal relations, which still to me seems more appropriate than, you know, being able to just pop onto Facebook and see exactly what that person that you're thinking about is doing every second.
Right. And it was a sense of privacy as a result of exactly what you're saying, and that you weren't on 24/7, which is the reality today, that you always have to be on guard or performing in some sense.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if that's how it feels, because like I said, I kind of, you know, by virtue of my total incompetence in this realm, I sort of don't participate in all of it. You know, I don't tweet. I'm not really on Facebook in an immediate way. I mean, I have an author page.
Right.
I like to be able to put up information, but so I don't really know how it feels. But I know that for me, you know, one of the most exciting things about becoming an adult in my 20s and living independently from my family, out on my own, was the opportunity to enter into intimate friendships and intimate relationships with people, and that always felt really monumental when you got close enough to someone to find out what was really going on with them. And I wonder what that's like nowadays when you automatically know so much about someone that you maybe haven't even met yet, because you can just kind of Google them or
right.
Look them up and sort of learn all these things that, you know, it used to be that learning those things about someone, it meant that you'd arrived at a certain juncture with them.
Susan Choi, her new novel is My Education. Susan, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. We'll take a break. I'll be right back.